The name of our session is From Smart Devices to the Chatbot, How AI Can Assist Visually Impaired and Blind Students. Our speaker is Sean Keen, and I am the president of AABT, April Martin. And I want to introduce Sean Keen. We met at a sports jamboree for disabled students in West Virginia when we were teenagers, a long time ago in West Virginia. And he is now the moderator and facilitator of AI for the Blind, which has over 13,000 followers. And I'm sure many of you in this room are followers of the Facebook group. And he is an entrepreneur and artist. He is from Fort Worth, Texas. And without further ado, I'm going to let him tell you his story, and we will take questions at the end of his presentation.
Thank you so much. Gosh, I thought I was going to be talking to like 20 people. So once again, my name is Sean. The boring stuff is that I'm a totally blind guy, and I was born in the 70s with glaucoma, and I'm not going to focus too much on that because my life took a big change about 3 or 4 years ago, and I'm going to move into that. But let me introduce myself, because we are going to talk about AI and technology and what it is and what it isn't and all that. But let me give you a little background on myself. So yeah, me and April met at this sports jamboree in West Virginia that was put on by the Southwestern Bell Phone Pioneers. Gosh, that's a name from yesterday. And so we went to this sports thing, got to do all kinds of stuff, and I got to meet all kinds of neat people from all over the place. And I was this young, dumb kid from Texas that didn't know anything, and I still am. But I went on from that period, and as we all probably wish, we could go back and tell our younger self a lot of stuff. The life sure might have been different, but I worked in blindness rehab for a long time, over 20 years. I spent about 10 years trying to figure out what I was going to do, and then I worked as an assistive technology trainer for a long time, and through as an independent contractor and with a nonprofit and with the state here in Texas called Texas Workforce. And I did all that. And then right around January of 2022, I had a stroke. And it was, you know, in all honesty, it was probably some bad living, some bad choices and all that that caused the stroke. But I want to say that I think it made me smarter. It gave me a direction in life at age 48 or so. And what that was is right about the same time this new technology came out called artificial intelligence. So there's a lot to that. And I'm going to try to kind of give the brief version of it that doesn't sound too nerdy and, you know, puts everybody to sleep. So right about November of 2022, I had heard of this thing called ChatGPT, and I really didn't even know what it was at the time. I heard it could translate language and do all this fun stuff, and I just started kind of messing with it, because that's, as a computer nerd, technology geek, whatever you want to call me, that's what I've always done is, you know, no matter what kind of work I was doing, I would always gravitate to technology. And so I started messing with this AI thing, and come to find out you can program with it, you can write stories, you can write all kinds of stuff, you can translate, and you can make pictures with it, and music, and now videos, and all of this is just straight from a text prompt, just from, and that's a word you'll hear me say a lot, is prompting. So prompting is just the communication style that you use with artificial intelligence, or what we'll call AI. So prompting is learning to communicate more effectively with AI, because really you can communicate with AI just yourself, just talking in your own language, your own style of speech and all of that. And It will do. It'll understand you. It'll put two and two together and help you do. But the better you speak to AI through prompting, the better results you're going to get. And that's really what I've learned in the past 4 or 5 years from just tinkering around, just nothing professional, so to speak. So I had a stroke in 22, and also got into ChatGPT then. And a year later, still as a hobbyist, I'm still messing around with this AI stuff, and I started this group on Facebook called AI for the Blind. And all it was really for was somewhere I could post all the silly pictures I liked making with AI. And it still is. And I guess people enjoyed that or enjoy hearing about it. And I like to think that it inspires people to see what they can do using AI from an artistic nature, from making pictures or stories. And so every day there's people, thousands of people that post in that group their own music and stories and pictures and just all kinds of stuff. And it's great. I'm glad people are doing that. I'm glad it's an outlet. Using AI has just really done wonders for my own mental health, and I think there should be some studies done on that kind of thing, especially for blind people, because AI has become a real game changer for us. We were just sitting here at the table talking about Meta glasses and how it's funny that it seems like blind people are the only ones that really get a lot of use out of them, and where most of the time sighted people just wear them and don't give them two thoughts. But using Be My Eyes, you'll hear me talk about Be My Eyes a lot. They're one of my favorite companies, and they were the first introduction I got to taking pictures and having them described with AI. And if you don't know what that's like, make sure you download the Be My Eyes app and give it a try. And take a picture of your hotel room or something important to you and listen to the description. And then ask questions about it. Ask more details. Learn something new from it. That's kind of what I've learned from this technology, is you can always learn something new. I was on a business trip in Louisiana about a year ago, and I was eating breakfast, and I had my Meta glasses on, and I was just kind of taking random pictures of the room, and one of the things I kept hearing was about mosaics, and I'm like, what's a mosaic? So I asked the Meta glasses, and we got into this big long conversation about mosaics and how they're created, what they look like, and if you don't know, they're these little bitty pieces or different shapes that all come together to make art. And I never knew that before until I started talking to a computer. And I'll tell you that AI is not perfect. There are issues, there are problems, there are challenges, and I think there's challenges with any new technology, and it's just to kind of be expected. So let me go through a little bit of more introduction about AI and really explaining what's going on here. So if I'm using a tool like Be My Eyes and I take a picture, that picture is taken from my phone and then it's sent off into the cloud, off in the world somewhere to a computer. And the computer it's sent to is called an image model. And an AI image model is just that. It's a computer that's trained on lots of images. I think one of the models I've read about out there is trained on something like 13 billion images. And so it gets that picture from the source, from the app, and it creates a description, because the computer not only knows what everything in that picture is, but it also knows what they're used for and how it can be used. So it'll generate a description and send it back to the phone, back to the user, and that's what you hear. So you take a picture with Be My Eyes, it starts playing that tone, and like 5 seconds later, that's what comes back to you. So when you're sitting listening to that 5 second tone, there is all kinds of amazing stuff going in the background. And so something I learned early on was about this thing called hallucinations. And hallucinations are when the AI gets the input incorrect. And I'll give you an example of that.
Ask ACB Media to play too.
I was so one day I was taking a picture in my backyard, and I've been taking a picture of the garage, and the description for Be My Eyes said that there was a staircase leading up to a doorway, and I thought, that's not right. I know that's not right. So and that's a hallucination, and I'll show you how that happened. So I got to asking more questions. So if any AI tells you, you know, there's a goblin sitting at the breakfast table with you or something like that, then ask more questions. Don't believe everything a computer tells you. I can't believe we got to say that, but don't believe everything a computer tells you. But so in my case, I took a picture of a garage, and there was a wood siding on the garage. And I think with the light and the shadows, it was mistaking that for a staircase. And the window was getting mistaked for a doorway. So there is a method to the madness there of how all that works. And so if you do get a hallucination in using AI, something that's wrong, clearly wrong, you know, ask more questions or take another picture and try again. You know, if at first you don't succeed, try again, is the old motto. And the pictures alone, I was really shocked. You know, because as a blind person, I don't really pay too much attention about what I look like. I mean, I know I'm a salty, brown, gray-haired guy, middle-aged. You know, that's about it. I got blue eyes. But when I first got a hold of Be My Eyes, I'm using it to describe pictures, my family. There was a picture of us all in the pool that we had described, and it's describing everybody. My wife's telling me who everybody is, and there's one guy on the end that's on an inner tube, and we hadn't got to him yet, and I'm like, who's that? She goes, that's you. I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, it's really interesting because with AI we can take pictures. I could probably take pictures with myself in a picture all day and never realize it was me. And, you know, it's just the challenge of being blind. And but this technology opens up a lot of doors. I was talking to someone recently about using it to identify clothes, and I used it yesterday in the hotel room to identify the soap bottles on the wall. So I didn't, you know, start off with the conditioner or, you know, that can sometimes even be worse if it's hand lotion. So, those are tasks I used to use a human assistant for. I used to use Aira, and I love Aira. Aira is a great service, and they even have AI. And that's the thing, is all of these AIs are different. They all kind of do things a little bit differently, and you might use them differently according to, you know, your need. So one of the things I like to do, and one of the things a lot of people in my group, AI for the Blind, like to do is make AI images. And if you've not tried this, this is a lot of fun. You can do this virtually anywhere. You can do this on WhatsApp if you have that app. If you have Facebook Messenger, you make pictures using that. There's other services like ChatGPT and Gemini and more advanced services. But if you just want to make a simple picture, you can do that anywhere. And then you can use a tool like Be My AI to describe it. That's the Be My Eyes AI feature. Or you might use Aira, or you might use Seeing AI. They all offer different levels of experience. And let me tell you one about Aira here. Now, especially, if I make an AI image, and all that is I'm taking text and describing what the image looks like and then feeding it to an AI image model, and it pops out in a picture of what I said. Yes, this is totally possible. So then you can go over to the Aira app and use Access AI. That's Aira's AI feature. And what, there's a button on the screen there that says Aira Verify. And this is really cool. What they do is I believe this is a free service, is that they will take the picture that you submitted and send it to a real agent, a real human agent, and let them read the description, the AI description of the picture, and just tell you, you know, yes, that is a blue cat sitting by the window or something. Colors can be challenging. Sometimes AI doesn't get the colors all right. So I tell people it's better to know that your image came out right than to post it online and have somebody tell you it didn't. Been there, done that. So with music, with, and I really hadn't even talked about music yet, but let me take a second here and mention AI for the Blind is the Facebook group. Started that group about 2 years ago, and it just crossed 13,000 people. And that's a free resource for anybody to go join. You can go join right now. And there's hundreds of posts every day about doing all kinds of things with AI, making videos, making music. There's people making little, like, audio skits and commercials. I mean, there's just all kinds of ways that you can use AI for creative purposes. And that's kind of what we promote in there, is how to use it for making creative stuff and then how to describe it best to for your use, for maybe with Be My Eyes or Aira. How to prompt best with the AI. So I tell you, if you take a picture of a room and say, describe this living room, and it is a living room, versus saying, describe this room, the output is going to be a lot more detailed, since you just use the one word living room. That one word is a prompting word to get more information out of the image that you're viewing or having described. So that group, like I said, it's free. It's just a Facebook group. You can also learn a bit more about me and all the wild AI stuff I do from this website I created using AI, called blindhq.com. And virtually anything I do with AI, whether it's music or images or tutorials or anything, can all be found there. So AI for the Blind or Blind HQ, one of the two, they'll all lead you to the same place. There's a link to the Facebook group right there on that website, blindhq.com. So we get to more real life uses of AI, and teaching comes up, and schools come up, and this does come up a lot. And I understand, I know kids are going to use this to cheat. We'll just put it out there like that. People are going to use AI to cheat. There's no doubt about it. I don't think that makes it a bad tool or anything. I think it's just people using it for the wrong reasons. And in my opinion is that people use it to cheat. Even if it wasn't AI, they'd use something else to cheat with. So I don't necessarily see that as a problem per se. I think that things do change. You know, when I was back in the 90s, this thing called the internet came out, and that caused a lot of upheaval and changes in how things were done. So seems like every 10 or 20 years or so, something new does come along, and that's just kind of a part of it, change. I think from what I've been talking to in the education space, people have been saying that you know, definitely schools are real wary of AI, and that's a bummer for blind students, because not only do we have the apps like Be My Eyes and Aira, but right built into JAWS is PictureSmart. That uses AI now to describe things. So for blind students, there is just a tremendous amount of of technology now that I wish I had had when I was growing up. Sure would have made a big difference. And I can just see all kinds of ways this could be used. And I think overall, it's just going to take more education, more knowledge, because this is all new. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people in here that haven't heard the uses of AI, and AI is new. There's still 50% or so of the country that haven't even, you know, used it. So I think over time that's going to take a turn, that things will change. Things will catch up with that. So, I think I'm getting close to my time here, and I just want to take a chance to get some questions and hear from you, because I could talk all day about this AI stuff and how to use it and how to prompt it right, but let's turn it over and get some questions.
Thank you. So I work at a community college, so there is a lot of talk about how you use it responsibly, but one of my big jobs has been educating people on accessibility. And so one day there was a picture of my guide dog that somebody sent me, and I used AI, the Be My AI, and I had it describe the photo, then I sent it out campus-wide, because you know, they often will send out flyers or photos and nothing's even described at all. And so I got a lot of feedback from people like, this is amazing. So sometimes we can even just use it to educate the sighted world about accessibility. I think that's real important.
Diane, you're free to talk.
Yes, hi. I hope this won't take too long, but a couple weeks ago, I was at my college reunion, and I tried to take a picture of a couple of friends using Be My Eyes. I got a volunteer to help me, you know, she helped me turn my head the right way and everything so that I'd get a good picture. And then I was hearing, it sounded like my Meta glasses were taking pictures. And so I don't know, do the Be My Eyes volunteer take the picture, or do you have to push a little button on the right arm of the glasses to get a picture?
Great question. And you have two different devices there. So you have Be My Eyes on your phone.
Yes.
And you have Meta glasses.
Yeah, my Be My Eyes is actually going through the Meta glasses. You know, that's what they're using to see. With.
Right, so you were connected to a volunteer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, because currently, to my understanding, the AI features on Be My Eyes don't work through Meta. You can connect to a volunteer and talk to someone and get help that way, but you can't actually use the Be My Eyes features on your Meta glasses. But Meta has their own service for that, and that's what you were hearing. So anytime you're wearing your Meta glasses, I'm probably going to trigger somebody right here, but if you say, hey, Meta, look and tell me what's in front of me, it's mm-hmm. going to take a picture and then describe to you what's in front of you, what it takes a picture of.
Right.
So I suspect you were probably getting your Meta descriptions, and you if you had been on your phone, you could have, you know, taken a picture with your phone in the Be My AI portion of Be My Eyes. So it's a tab down there at the bottom of the screen on Be My Eyes. You select it, and then you can take the picture either with the button on the screen or using your volume keys on the phone.
Okay, so you can't. You actually can't take a picture then with the Meta glasses.
You can, but not the way you're thinking. Not to have it described.
No, I didn't want it described necessarily, because I could do that later. Maybe I wanted.
Okay.
It, I wanted to just get a picture and then get it in the gallery, and it didn't seem to export to the gallery. So I don't know if I didn't get a picture or what.
That's if you there on the right side of your arm, your glasses up near where it connects to the frame there, on the top of that arm, there's a button.
Yes.
And you press that button once, and it'll take a picture. And if you hold it down, it'll record video.
Yes.
And I know the first time I did this, you have to go to the Meta AI app, and there's a media section where there's a way it'll automatically import, but it may not do it the first time. So I bet it's probably right there in your gallery on your probably still on your glasses.
Oh, okay. Well, I will look for it. I just it's good to know that I had to take the picture myself, and those clicks I was hearing was something else. Thanks. I'll let you move on to someone else.
Good.
Jen?
I just wanted to warn people about taking a picture of yourself. If you have not had a description of yourself, the Be My Eyes call me an elderly woman. So...
Mary, there you go.
Okay, my name's Mary Carla Hayes from McMurray, Pennsylvania, and I feel your pain. My AI, I called my dog Sparky, a big black blob. So anyhow, the question I have, I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate here. You said that, about AI and education, that, you have to change with the times. I think that's what I heard you say. But here's the other side of it. I am a foreign language teacher, and the problem that I'm having now increasingly is students using AI to cheat. Like, I will assign a Spanish composition, and I tell them, I am not grading Google Translate. I'm not grading your ability to look things up. I am grading you on the computer between your two ears. And they'll cheat, and I dock them gloriously. I take points off. I mean, people flunked in my classes because of it. And the thing is, I feel that they need to learn the basics first, and then if my students do advance to more advanced levels of the course, I show them how to judiciously use AI and things like Google Translate. But if they're just constantly asking for things and looking things up, they are not learning basic skills. And so, Sean, I'd like you to sort of give us some advice as teachers. We don't want it to go AI to go away. But how do we use AI or discourage its use when appropriate in this environment?
Well, am I here? There we go. I would say exactly the way you are using it. And definitely take points off, fail people. Yeah, I mean, all of that stuff. I mean, there was a time when it was a big struggle because they were starting to allow us to use calculators in school. And I don't know why this micro doesn't seem like it's working. Okay. I think those all are the right things to do, is to take points off and to punish people that aren't using it in the right way. AI is a tool. Same way spell check and grammar check is a tool. The calculator is a tool. And so, yes, you're 1,000% right. People need to learn how to use it correctly, and they also need to learn how to do things the right way from the beginning. And then, use AI. There are websites out there that will check for AI content, but unfortunately, who tends to get penalized is the English is a second language people, and basically anybody learning English is going to tend to write more like AI will. So I don't think those detectors really necessarily help. I think that I think most of the time y'all know your students, and if Johnny comes in with this amazing essay, then Johnny didn't write that. I mean, you know that. So, I I do. I know it's a struggle, and I know it's going to be a struggle. And, you know, and it's probably going to change how teaching is done. Somebody said when ChatGPT first came out, well, that's the end of homework. And I don't, you know, I think not necessarily the end, but I think changing how that happens could be in the cards. Does that help?
You're next, sir. Thanks. Hello, my name is Peter from Coos Bay, Oregon, and I want to sort of expand on Carla's question. Obviously, AI is doing all kinds of wonderful things, but I've been reading articles over the past few days about AI's negative impact on mental health, that people are actually going to psychiatric wards because they were using it too much and using it wrong, and they actually use AI as sort of a, I'm not sure if the writer is all-knowing spirit or something, and it sounds pretty scary. What advice do you have to parents, I guess, and teachers to sort of educate younger folks on how to use this stuff wisely?
I guess I would say that, you know, if there's no parental controls yet on AI, there probably should be, or there probably will be soon. Definitely a discussion should be had with, and it's like I said earlier, don't believe everything a computer tells you. And, you know, we're all educated adults in here, and I think we can all understand that. And I think there's people that won't. That's unfortunate. They might need to be told more than once that, you know, this is a tool and this is something you can use to do a lot of great stuff with, but it's still a computer. It's still, and let me tell you, if you didn't know this, so the way AI works is basically it's all statistics. So when you type Mary had a little, it knows statistically the next word is lamb. And so really, as amazing as it seems sometimes, it's just predicting what the most likely next word is.
I heard an article that one way around the cheating, especially with foreign languages, was that professors and teachers had started giving oral exams rather than written exams so that students couldn't cheat. How do you feel about that?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think that's a great idea. And it's kind of what I was thinking anyway, is maybe you go to more class tests, you know, off the cuff or just pop quiz. There we go. You know, and you got to get creative, maybe with the times a little bit. But, there's people are going to use this to cheat. I suspect the people that were always going to use it, something to cheat, are going to use it to cheat. And I think that you just got to recognize who your students are and that, hey, that's not Jimmy's usual content, you know. So that's where I come at it from.
I come at it from the other end of the spectrum, and y'all might help me with it. How do you know when you're using AI versus my phone always does alternative characters available, and I can't get to quit doing that. And it takes me 15 minutes just to enter an email and a password because it keeps changing what I'm writing, and it irritates me.
I hear you. I know exactly what you're talking about with that alternative characters, and that's a setting on your phone. It's under keyboard. I can't think what it is at the moment, but maybe. Yeah, there's a way to turn that off, and you would ask how to know if you're using AI, and I tell people this all the time, if you've never used AI, go download Be My Eyes and give Be My AI a try. Because not only can you take a picture and ask it to describe things to you. But you could also ask it a question like this. Give me a basic tutorial on AI prompting. You can do that with Be My Eyes, Ira, Seeming AI, any of them, and get a really simple understanding of prompting and the kind of language to use to get the best results from an AI model. And, you know, if you're just on your phone, you know, until the new fancy phones come out, the iPhones and Androids come out and actually have AI built into them, for the most part, you're still just dialing and texting and doing everything the way you're used to. There are new features coming, but I just have an iPhone 14. I don't even have the AI features yet. So I think you would definitely know if you're using AI.
Jeanette, go ahead.
So, in using AI, when you're talking about using AI with a foreign language, it is very clear to me that I can look up something and it will perhaps speak to me in that foreign language. But bridging that gap to look up equivalents on the internet is sometimes difficult if you don't have your languages set in the right way. How does a student legitimately bridge that gap to get the information out there that he wants to portray without looking like he or she is cheating?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
So what I'm saying is, if I want to go to a website and, you know, the ChatGPT or ChatAI has told me how to say a phrase I want to say, but I kind of want to add or embellish, and I go to a foreign language website, if I don't have all the criteria set up right, I may not get comparable information on my computer. So how do I, as a student, bridge the gap and put in what I want to put in without totally using the chat GPT stuff or chat AI and not appear like I'm cheating?
Well, okay. So traditionally when there's AI writing, you generally know it. Unless you know how to prompt it and to get non-AI looking writing, generally, if you allow AI just to write you something on its own, it's gonna use words. I can't think of one right now, but there are common phrases. There's common wordings that AI uses that aren't the way normal people communicate. So you can definitely tell that from that way. I would say that now a lot of the tools like Google and Gemini and even ChatGPT and others are coming out with their own search capabilities. So you can ask a lot more detailed question of an AI search than you could just go into Google and doing a search for foreign languages. You know, I'll give you an example. The other day, I asked the AI to give me the top 10 list of inexpensive places to visit for me and my wife as a couple that was near a beach. And that's kind of vague, but it's asking a lot. And a normal search wouldn't give you results like that. The AI search completely will. So, you know, that's an example of asking something with AI. And as you had mentioned foreign language, I just wanted to get this story in. Back when I worked for the state, Texas workforce, there was a counselor I worked with that didn't speak English. Or they spoke English, but their natural language was Spanish and communication was just a lot easier in Spanish. So, you know, I would use AI to translate my emails from English to Spanish, because if I didn't, then I was going to get behind and she was going to get behind, you know, so it's just a lot easier to use the technology in that way to bridge a gap with language. So thanks for your question. I hope I got some of it right.
Okay.
Well, this has been really fantastic, and I really enjoyed getting to do this today. If you want to learn anything all about Sean Keene, visit blindhq.com or come join us in AI for the Blind on Facebook. And I appreciate y'all having me.
Thank you, everyone.